Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have a great episode for you today with Inner Circle member Alyssa, who's 20 years old. She's a pre-med student. You'll hear she's ridiculously smart, very well spoken, and she's been struggling with consistency, and she's also been struggling with her relationship with food, relationship with exercise, taking everything to the extreme or going to the opposite end and just not doing anything. So in this episode, I help Alyssa come up with a meal plan, a meal strategy that's going to help her stay consistent and also help her develop great goals to strive for with her workouts and with her running and strength training and all of that. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes or www.sfinnercircle.com. With that said, let's get into it.
All right, Alyssa, we're live. How are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited about this. Thank you for taking the time to hop on and chat.
Thank you. I know you're crazy busy. I can't imagine. So I really appreciate this.
Of course. So talk to me. But before we get into everything, I know one of the things you said you wanted to talk about was balance and lifestyle. But before we get into that, just tell me about yourself. Like, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Like, give me just the overview.
All right. So I'm 20 years old. I live in California. I'm currently doing my undergrad at Cal Poly. I'm studying biology and I'm taking my MCAT in January and planning to apply to medical school this spring. So that's kind of academic side. Yeah. And then I like to ride horses. I do a lot of work through the school with the horses and everything. But mainly my life is taken up with lots of pre-med activities and then stuff with horses. And then obviously, you know, the usual.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, that is correct. That is, if you ask anyone, that is how they would describe me, is busy.
So do you know what you want to get into in terms of like after school?
So just something with people. Like I work in a research lab right now and I really like the research and I really like the kind of background stuff to medicine, but I like people a lot. Like I love working with kids and just working face to face. And like a lot of the work I did with horses growing up was I taught lessons and that was like one of my favorite things was teaching. So I know I just want to go somewhere in the medical field. The goal is just to get into medical school. But once I'm in, I just know I want to specialize in something where every day works with people and I'm not sitting behind a computer or at a desk. Like I want to be up and about.
I love that. It's important to know. I have a bunch of friends who are in the medical field and some are more in a lab and others like work directly with people. And it's cool to see the differences in those jobs and also those people. Like some people hate working with people, so they just want to be in the lab, whereas other people want to be more on the practical side of I want to see and implement this with actual humans.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a lot of people, like when I say I'm pre-med, they're like, oh, you want to be a doctor? Like what kind? And I'm like, I can't tell you. There's so many different specialties and niches and like small, like different jobs within the big field. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot out there that I'm excited to like see and run into. And I think I'm a little too young to decide right now what I want to do for the entirety of my life.
I think that's a very, very smart outlook, to be very honest with you. People change their careers all the time. So it's a good idea. Just be like, you know what? I'm open to anything. Let's try a bunch and see what I like best.
Yes, exactly. That's what I always say. I'm like, I'm headed in this general direction, but if we take a left, that's okay. Or like if we take a right, that's fine too.
And did you get into equestrian riding horses when you were a kid?
I started kind of late for the normal sport. So I started about like 12, 13 when I was in middle school. And my mom got me into it. And then I kind of just kept going with it through college. So that's been my like life outside of school and how I keep sane.
Yeah. So you still ride pretty frequently?
Yes. I work with like the teams at the school and the unit horses because Cal Poly is pretty ag focused. We have a lot of different agriculture programs and they breed horses and then they kind of raise them a little bit and they will start them and sell them. So next year for the next two quarters, I'll be doing their like quarter horse program where you take some of the horses they bred and you help to start them, break them, get them saddle broke and then sell them through the school programs. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I've had horses that I've like taken care of up here and it's just a nice way for me to like get my fix and do the horse stuff without being 20 years old and planning to go to grad school and owning a horse and having all that responsibility.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Is there any part of you that thinks, you know what, maybe not medical as like maybe not med school or anything, but maybe go into something related to equestrian?
That's like what I always joke about. I'm always like, oh, like if I drop out of school, I'll just go ride horses for the rest of my life. My parents don't love that joke. But Part of me always like looks at it as a backup career, but I don't know. I'm kind of hooked on all the school and the science, and I like both worlds. Like I like having like the academic rigor in my life, but then also having like that other side.
I love that.
That's part of like the balance that keeps me sane with day-to-day activities. So I don't know if I could do just the horses full time. That's a lot.
Maybe there's a way in the future to incorporate both, right? Like I don't know. I have no idea if there's like some type of a medical practice that includes like, you know, I remember when I went to the dentist when I was a kid, the dentist we went to, they had like a bunch of dogs that like, I think the dentist dogs, but they would bring their dogs in for the day and they would just put the dog in your lap when you were getting worked on. And I thought it was so smart in looking back because the dogs really calmed me down when I hated going to the dentist. So who knows if there's some application medically where you can, you know, bring certain kids to kids or adults as well to ride horses and help them in some way. I'm thinking, who knows, maybe something with muscular dystrophy. I have no idea. It could be mental as well, but maybe that's a possibility.
Yeah, no, there's definitely lots of programs for that and different, like, so there's lots of studies on it too, which, like, the psychology behind it and the movements. Or in high school when I taught lessons, I had a few kids that were autistic or had a few other, you know, mental disabilities or impairments. And it was just so cool. Like, that was my favorite thing, was when they would come up and I would have them all in one day. And those days were just, like, perspective changing, because it's, like, you know, it just like brings everything into reality. Like I would like get these kids and they would, I remember we had one kid come up one day and his mother was like, we've never done this before. Like we've never tried horse therapy. Like our friend recommended it. And I was like, well, we're going to put him on a horse and we're just going to walk. That's it. I was like, we're going to go walk a bunch of circles. You might get a little bored. We're just going to walk circles. And that's it. But the kid got on the horse and like 10 minutes in, he just kind of quieted and relaxed. And like, she looked at her, his mom looked at me and she was like, I've never seen him like this. She was like, he has never calmed down this fast before in a new place. Like he has never been this relaxed. And it's just, I know, it's always just
wow.
Like, yeah.
That's so incredible.
Oh yeah. I definitely appreciated my job a lot in high school and just like the opportunity to do that and see that.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. So, yeah. So talk to me, how about you, I know you wrote in the email, you want to talk about balance and everything, but just give me the rundown on what you'd like to discuss.
Yes. Okay. So like my fitness journey kind of started out like everybody else's. But then I kind of took a few left and rights and got a little lost and off. And I just got a little too obsessive with everything and too like into controlling too much versus just kind of having it be like a lifestyle. Like I got just went down kind of a few not wrong turns, but I went through a few unexpected turns. And so now kind of coming out the other side, like I'm struggling with getting back into fitness right now is my big thing. So like I was very into it for a really long time, got way too obsessive, just got in a very bad mental state with it. And so I like took a nice pause and really worked on like my mental outlook on it and my mental health with that, because it was just really, really low. And so now that I'm finally getting back to being able to have a better approach to food and eating and just better approach to myself and like not judge how I look based on how I'm working out. So now getting back into it is kind of where I'm struggling. Like that's where I'm at now.
Okay. Yeah. That makes total sense. So give me a rundown. Like what specifically would you like to discuss, or do you have any questions, or can you give me more detail into like what's going on in your life right now that maybe you're struggling with?
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to think. So I think right now, like last year with the COVID, like everything at home, especially with school, like eating is the biggest issue for me. Like the gym has always been like a really great outlet. Like I love to run in certain phases, and I love going to the gym and especially going to the barn and like getting out like that. Like I love getting up and getting out. So exercise has always been pretty good, but I started getting too kind of obsessive with like how much I'm exercising, how often, like, am I doing enough? Like, am I not doing enough? And then with food, it kind of comes in the same thing. Like, oh, is it like I just went to the gym for an hour and yet I went and ate that. And it was just like not a good combination. So I just got way too obsessed about eating and the food. And I still kind of struggle with that. It was just like balancing, like how much to restrict food, yet how much is not, or just like, I went from being way too restricted with food to kind of dropping all the restrictions just to get a new approach. And so now getting back into trying to eat healthy, I'm like struggling to find like my definition of healthy and like what type of like program I want to do and like methods. Like I love the podcast. So obviously I've listened to all the like 3 plates, 2 snacks methods. And so now I'm just like trying to find the right balance as far as like eating and then trying to find the right approach to getting back into working out. Cause I took a nice break and now I'm kind of hesitant to go back because I'm just worried it's going to be like an all or nothing mentality. I'm worried I'm going to get too like obsessive with it going back now.
Got it. Makes total sense. In terms of, let me ask you this, would you prefer to talk about strength training or nutrition first?
Strength training.
Okay, cool. Why do you think you got so obsessive with it and took it to an extreme?
It was probably just like the mindset I started out with working out. Like how I started thinking about working out was I didn't initially start thinking of it as like a way to decrease like my stress with school and a way to calm myself down and just like recenter during my days. But I had started looking at it as like, oh, like I want to look a certain way. So I'm going to work out the way I look that way and not a different way. And I definitely fell into a lot of like the ideas of like what like a perfect like physique is and kind of like in college every day, like, you know, you go out and like people get ready to go out and try to look nice and just like what looking nice means and like what looking like attractive means. Like, I think that's where like lost myself when getting into working out.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And so let me ask you this. What is your goal right now with strength training? Like what, and maybe even not just with strength training, but what are your main goals? Like what do you want to achieve?
I love, okay, yeah. Going off of like your goals podcast, like that just changed like my whole outlook. So my goals right now is for running. Like I want to get back into running and I signed up to do a 12K with my mom in the spring. So my goal for running is to just increase by a few miles each month and just get up to about 7 miles, which is the 12K. Mm-hmm. That's my goal for like running, which is numerical based. But then goals for working out, that's where I'm struggling because I don't know if my goal should be go to the gym the 4 days I want to, or like I have like my goals will be like I want to be able to do like 5 pull-ups now because I can do 3. But now like I'm struggling to decide like, okay, do I want to lose weight? Like, is there weight that I want to lose? Or am I happy where I'm at? And is that going to be like my goal just to stay where I'm at?
Let's talk about that. That's a great question. Do you want to lose weight?
I think so. Yes. But I think I'm scared to say yes, because every time I've like decided I want to lose weight, I feel like I always end up just gaining weight.
Now that's interesting. Talk to me about that.
That was like a lot of last year. Cause last year, especially being at home, like I was working out at home and I would run. And ever since I was little, like I have always seen myself as I need to lose weight. I have always seen myself as I'm not there yet. Like I'm not, like I don't look how I want to. And I've always looked back on pictures and been like, oh my gosh, like why did I think back then that I was overweight? Like every single picture I look back on, I look back on the picture and me now says like, oh my gosh, I looked amazing. But I remember in those pictures thinking like, holy, like I look awful, you know?
That's so super common. Super common.
I didn't realize how common until I started like getting exposed to like the inner circle and reading posts. And I was like, wow, like maybe I'm not the only one who like thinks these things. I was like, oh, wait a minute. But yeah, that's like just looking back, I would always think like, oh, I need to lose the weight, or like I need to lose the weight. And so I would always end up like trying to do something very, very restrictive, like a super restrictive diet or cut. And then it would end up being way too restrictive. And then I would obviously go off of it, or I would feel like I failed and then do the whole like just restart. Mm-hmm. But then I think with the last cycle, like the last year, I got into kind of the best shape I had been in for a while with like running a lot. And then I kind of took a break when school started. And then kind of after that initial into school, I started to try to, you know, pick up running again and cut again. And then I was just like, I'm bound and determined to lose the weight. And the diet I put myself on just totally kind of sent me into a spin with like mental health. And so then I took that huge break when I focused on like my mentality around eating. And so now coming back from that huge break, I definitely know I've like gained weight since taking a break off from working out for a few months. But in just every cycle I've done, it's been too restrictive and then ended up going off the rails.
All right. Well, that's super good to know. And so I think we're going to talk more about that when we discuss nutrition, mainly just because when we're talking about strength training, whether or not you want to lose body fat is almost not, it's almost irrelevant, just because we're not going to be going to the gym or working out to lose body fat. And I know you know that probably at this point, where it's like the amount of calories you're going to burn working out, it's not nearly significant enough to make it a reason like, all right, I'm going to work out specifically to burn calories to lose weight. The reason we work out is to get stronger, to get more muscle definition, to build more muscle, to become more athletic, to get healthier. And when we focus on that, on strength training and exercise as a means to improve your physical performance, your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, then it often becomes a lot less stressful. So the fat loss discussion, let's table that until nutrition, because that's when we're really going to get into it and what maybe you'll want to do. So let's just talk about, when we're talking about strength training, let's talk about your goals for that. Let's set three like steadfast, clear cut goals. I know you already said for running, you want to run the 12K, which I love. It's very clear. It's very specific. You've got a timeline for it. It sounds like you're taking a smart approach with just adding a couple miles per month. When you were saying that, I was thinking, is she going to say like every week? I was like, that would be too much, but per month, like adding 1 to 2, 1 mile or so on a month over the course of several months, like that is great. I think it's very progressive and intelligent. What else would you like to accomplish with your training?
That's where, okay, when I think like what else, the first thing that pops in my mind is like just quantity. Like when I went home last week for like Thanksgiving break, like I worked out 4 days of the week, and like I worked out with my little brother, which was super fun, and I worked out with my mom, and I like, it wasn't hard for me to work out multiple days because I enjoyed it, and it's kind of that like positive feedback, you know, like I work out Monday and I'm like excited to go hit the next like section Tuesday. But then with school, it's like I almost like, one of the goals I set at the beginning of the quarter was to exercise 4 times a week, like on top of classes and work, because I do sit so much. But then I almost don't know if that's like a good goal to say I want to work out 4 times a week, or if that's not the best way to approach it and have it be more like a step-by-step thing, not like a metric for each week.
Well, so, I mean, what do you think? And tell me why, and then I'll tell you what I think afterwards. But do you think having a set number of times per week, like, hey, I know I go to class this many times per week, I know I have meetings this many times per week, I know I'm going to like work out this many times per week. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea, and why?
I think it's a good idea because it doesn't, like I used to make it like I have to work out for 45 minutes and do like this intense of a workout. I think just saying I want to do something active like 4 times a week is good, because then I can do whatever active I want. Like I could do yoga, I could run, I could go to the gym and do strength training. I could go for a hike, and then I like having 4 times a week, not 5, 6, 7, that I can like go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday if I have a big day Thursday. I think it's a good idea in that sense. But I think just having that numerical value for each week, I know in the past I've had weeks where I'm like studying 8 to 8 and just drowning in work. And I've gone to the gym like 2 times and I'm like, wow, like I sucked this week. So that's where I see it possibly as a negative.
I think the way you just articulated the pros and cons was incredible. Very, very well said. Like you did it way better than I could have. And I could not agree more in literally everything you just said. The best part about what I think you just said is how you understand if you say 4 times a week, it could be walking, it could be yoga, it could be strength training, it could like just doing some form of exercise for your mind and for your body 4 times a week. I love that. And I think if you can stick to that, and that's going to be the next question of maybe it's a crazy exam time or whatever it is, and you know you're not going to be able to make it to the gym, but you could definitely carve out 30 minutes just to walk throughout that day. If you can fully understand that that's a wonderful form of exercise and movement, and that you don't if you don't get to the gym 4 times that week, but you get there twice, and then the other 2 days are just walking, that's still hitting your target of 4 times per week. If you can internalize that and believe it and know that that's successful, then I would say we should absolutely go that route. But on the other hand, if you say, no, I know myself, I know that if I stay 4 times a week, I'm going to actually think it has to be strength training for some reason. If I don't get there, then I'm going to consider myself a failure. Then we'll change it to a different goal. So what do you think is knowing yourself? What do you think?
I think I just need to hard, fast agree with myself and like promise myself that if I walk for 30 minutes, I'm not going to beat myself up later for saying, oh, I should have got like ran for 30 minutes, because that would have been more useful. Like, I think I like the 4 times approach. I think it's like myself on the back end then that makes it doesn't work, because I kind of go through like the loops, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I just need to make it like, okay, like if I say I'm walking 30 minutes and that's what I can do and like what I want to do today, then that's what I'm going to do. And then afterwards, I'm not going to go back and like make any regrets or changes. Like I make a plan and I stick with it. And so I think I need to like agree to that with the 4 times a week. Because I think when I exercise, like at least, you know, like every other day, that's when I'm like the most like physically calm and like mentally about like, you know, like that's like, I don't know if it's in my brain, like all the textbooks I read about how like the chemistry in your brain changes when you exercise and just the endorphins. So I think that's like the threshold for me.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So how about, do you have a pen and paper near you by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So how about this? How about we make a list of some of the things that you can, that will count as exercise. So if we're going to make the goal of 4 times per week, then we can put strength training as one of the things. So doing a strength training workout from any program that you have. We can put walking for, I would say, 30 minutes total. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes in a row. It could be 10, 10, 10. It could be 20, 10. You could split it up however you want. But I think strength training, walking, let's come up with some other options. If you want to put yoga in there, if you want to put running, you're welcome to do that. But let's come up with a list of, I don't know, 4 to 5 things that will still count no matter what. And because you're writing it down, this is a very clear cut. All right, so I said that walking for 30 minutes total in that day would count. So you succeeded. So let's make sure, let's set yourself up for success. What would you like to mark as you were consistent and you did the workout 4 times a week?
I like those 4. I definitely like strength training, walking for 30 minutes total. I really like that part. I like running, yoga, and I think like a long hike, like those will kill my calves and shins. No, I'm like, oh, I just walked. I'm like, no, like a hike, definitely. Like, I think I like to include hiking in that list. And then one thing I would do in the summer, because last summer I worked at a barn and worked for a trainer. And my rule is like one horse is not really a workout. But if I do 2 or more, I count that in my brain as workout. Because typically by the second horse, I'm like dying and in pain. Not dying, but like out of breath, like enough that I feel like I exercise thoroughly.
Got it. I love that. So let's write those down. So we know one goal is going to be training for the 12K, excuse me. The other one is going to be just working out 4 times per week. And the cool part is those will sort of pair together, right? It's one of your runs to prepare for the 12K will also mark off running for that day. So that counts as one of the workouts for the week. Let's come up with one more specific goal that you'd like to achieve through working out on top of that. So we just have a list of 3 things.
Like maybe just like on a metric standpoint, like get back to all my old PRs possibly. Because when I was like going to the gym very consistently, like obviously all my weight's improved. And then as I've been like slowly getting back into it, one thing I've been pretty curious about is just like, can I still get up to those numbers? Like how out of it really am I? So I think maybe just like as a numeric value, that's not a bad, like not a negative sense goal for working out, but like a progress one.
Love that. So tell me, like, what are your top 1, 2, or 3 lifts that you want to focus on to getting back to your PRs?
I think squat, I'm getting a little closer. Squat, I like to, like, my initial goal is just to do like my body weight. And then start going over it. And I was pretty close. So then I think I just want to get back up to like body, like hit my body weight for squat. And then leg press. I used to love to leg press. I'd go to the gym with all the guys and we would all leg press for like 30 minutes, like rotating in and out. But that was one of my favorite things. And so leg press, I think I got up to like 270. So I think I'd want to get back there.
Okay.
And then like pull-ups, I think. Like for a while I was like, I want to do 3. And now I can do 3. So now I want to do 5.
I love that. I love those goals. Those are probably my favorite ones we've set yet. Obviously I'm biased because I love strength training, but like I love those goals because they're clear, they're specific, they're performance-based. Just all of that makes me very, very happy. So let's write those down as well. You've got your squat, your leg press, and your chin-ups or pull-ups. And they're very specific with the weight that you want to get to and then what you want to improve to. I think that these are phenomenal goals and a phenomenal balanced way to approach your exercise.
Yes, I agree. I think for too long, I was setting the goals that were like, I want to look this way, or I want to like exercise like in this quantity or like, you know, and I think it's just so easy like to initially think like, oh, what do I want? And it's like, okay, what you want is not what your goal should be. Like your goals is not going to correlate to directly what everybody wants because everybody wants abs and you know, everybody wants like the perfect physique, but it's like, that's not. Like if you set that as your standard, then that's not going to make you happy or feel fulfilled in your training at all.
Agreed. And you what you said earlier exemplifies that perfectly where you're like, when those pictures were taken of yourself, in that moment, you're like, oh, I look like shit. I probably need to lose weight. But then when you look back on those pictures, you're like, oh my God, I looked amazing. How did I think that? Whereas like, so if your goal is, well, I just want to look good naked, the reality is when you look in the mirror, odds are you're always going to be able to find something that will prove to your brain that you don't look good. Right? There's always going to be a part of your brain that is able to say, well, you have that and you have that. And so if you just make the arbitrary, non-specific goal of I want to look good, you're setting yourself up for failure, because in the moment you will always find a way to criticize yourself, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but I just think you have to be aware of it, which is why setting performance-based goals like you just did is so much more helpful, because when you get 5 pull-ups, there's no question, like, you did that. Like, you got stronger from 0 to 3 to 5. You got strong as shit. That is a very impressive amount of pull-ups. That's super strong. There's no way you didn't add muscle in the process. You obviously got stronger. Odds are you might have even lost weight, just because as you lose weight, chin-ups and pull-ups get easier because you have less weight to pull up. So, I mean, it's a clear, obvious marker of I made progress. Whereas when you're having this more objective looking at yourself in the mirror, it's very easy to convince yourself that you're just not making progress, you're not good enough.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's like every day you wake up and you could like the numbers, and like I just focus so much on like every morning, like if I woke up and I weighed like less than yesterday, it was a good day. If I woke up and I weighed more than yesterday, it was a bad day. And it just like set me up for failure, when in reality that was like an awful way to judge my days. And like it's so easy to always like, you know, like I love when you put like, when you would post, like one of the first times when I started following you on Instagram, you were posting like your cuts every day, and I remember you'd be like, it went up, that doesn't mean I gained fat, like it means I maybe, you know, it's like there's so many different factors that go into it. And like when I finally started reading about all that and like doing the research and like reading about it, I was like, whoa, like this is actually like an awful metric to be using to decide like how I feel in the mornings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's literally a terrible metric for that.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. Do you feel comfortable with strength training and exercise moving forward? Do you feel like, okay, I know what my plan is, and do you feel comfortable, confident with that?
Yes, I do. I really like that we like laid out what counts as exercise, because before in my head I've been like, oh, I know what counts as exercise, but then I'm like, wait, does this count? Does that count? And I'll go back and like double guess myself, be like, actually, this shouldn't count. But I like that now it's like clearly like this counts and this does not, like it's on the list. Like I can't beat myself up and say I didn't exercise.
That's exactly right. That is 100% right. And always you can go back to remember, and this is why I'm trying to beat this drum so damn hard lately, is it exercise is not done with the intent to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people hear that and they think, well, can't exercise help you lose weight? It's like, yes, but that's not what the fuck I'm saying. I'm saying that you don't exercise with the intent to. Yes, it can and will help you, but if your intent is specifically to improve your health and improve your performance, well, then all of a sudden 30 minutes of walking becomes legitimate exercise, because yes, that will definitely improve your health. Anyone with the least bit of knowledge about science and human biology understands what happens on a cellular level when you just walk for 30 minutes. Like, it makes tremendous differences to your physiology. So it obviously counts as exercise because you're doing it to improve your health and performance. But if your goal is solely to exercise to lose weight, you look at how many calories you burn and you deem that a failure. It's like the exact same exercise, walking for 30 minutes, for in one person's mind is going to be a failure. For another person, it's going to be a huge success. And the difference is whether or not the person was making the goal to lose weight or the goal was to improve your health and performance. And that's why it's so important to make exercise not for weight loss, but health and performance.
Yes, I agree. Like the second I decided I wasn't going to the gym to change how I look, I was going to the gym for me and to like for the enjoyment of that action and for how I felt after, like it made a world of difference. Like when I was like going through it with food and I like couldn't, like the gym was like my safe place, oddly enough. Like when I was like telling people like I'm struggling with like health and fitness, like finding balance, and they're like, well, why are you still going to the gym? I was like, because the gym is how I'm gonna get through this. I was like, the gym is where I can relax, like I can get away from everyone, and it's like the part of my day that I enjoy the most, and where I can like, if I'm on a run, like nothing else matters. Like all that matters is just like where you're running, and like just don't get hit by a car, you know.
That's exactly right. Okay, so let's go on to nutrition. And now this is where we can start to discuss fat loss weight loss, we can start to discuss what might be the best option for you if it is smart to try and lose weight, if we should focus on something else. So talk to me about nutrition. What are you doing right now? What goals do you have? Let's just sort of hash all that out.
Yes. So right now it's like coming up on final season and it was Thanksgiving. So obviously over Thanksgiving, I ate like an asshole on Thanksgiving, but the week of Thanksgiving, I was very happy. I did pretty good. I didn't, like, I have a tendency, like, when I get stressed to overeat, and, like, I've realized during COVID, like, I was eating so much out of boredom. Like, I did not realize how much of the times I was eating, I wasn't hungry, and it wasn't because, like, I needed food, and it was because I was bored and sitting around, and eating was something to do, or it was a stress relief, or, like, if I was sad, I would, like, compensate it by, like, going out and, like, getting ice cream or something, you know, and I just, like, realizing that was crazy, like, shifting it, and so right now I've been a lot better at like shifting just kind of like those little day-to-day thoughts. And like, it kind of started off with not labeling food anymore as like good or bad. Like I could tell you everything I would eat in a day and like the exact macros and calories and just recite it off. And I could like look at what other, or I would like subconsciously like look at what other people were eating and just like think like, oh my gosh, like that's that many calories. Like, oh my goodness, you know? And so now I've been like, the last few months I've just been like, stop eating when I'm full, like eat when I'm hungry, like listen to myself, don't eat out of boredom and don't eat out of like emotion or stress, and just not label foods as good or bad. And so I've been doing a lot more with that and I'm really happy with progress on those metrics. But then looking at what I eat overall in the day, I wish I could like tighten it up or round it out, like focus more on protein, like get more protein and like snack a little bit less on like excess carbohydrates, and especially transitioning back to in-person school, just like the on-the-go lifestyle, like taking food on the go and like planning to cook and like organize, like that's been where I'm kind of struggling. And so now I'm like, okay, I know I want to get more protein and like I know I want to eat more vegetables, which I love eating vegetables, but then so it's just a lot easier to, you know, like eat just like snacks that are prepackaged and ready to go, where just like protein takes a while to cook and like having it in the fridge. Like I love tofu because that's super easy, but a lot of times I'll buy chicken and just it'll sit because I won't have time to cook it with school and classes and I'll just forget about it. And so I'll end up just eating like rice is like a quick meal in between classes, when in reality, I would much rather have like a carbohydrate and a protein because I know I feel a lot more fulfilled when I do a protein.
Got it. I love everything you just said. It's one of the things I love about having these types of conversations is you just outlined everything so well, like, you know, but sometimes you just need an opportunity to be able to articulate it and express it. And yeah, it makes it so much easier to go through and be like, cool, so let's focus on this, this, and this, and this. So having said all of that, do you think it's a good idea for you to be counting calories or not?
I don't know. I've tried like the other apps to count calories where it's like you take a picture of your food, or it's like and I've done them for a few days and then stopped and then done them for a few days and then stopped. And I don't know, it's like I kind of want to because I liked being able to look at that balance in my day to day and being like, hey, like maybe that's why I feel like crap right now, because all I ate today was carbohydrates and I had no fat and no protein. Or I liked tracking my water intake. Like I love like noticing how when I do drink enough water in the day, like I don't feel as like me craving for food and like sugar. And so like that aspect I definitely want. I think it's like subconsciously I'm scared to get back to like the excessive restrictive calorie counting and like looking at food as numbers. Like I remember there was one podcast with like you and Susan where you're answering questions, and I like very clearly remember I was sitting in my car and I was like struggling with calories because I think I was like trying to eat bigger, like very like too low. But I remember Susan was like, if you are waking up every day, eating food and then going, oh, I only have these many calories left, or I only have this many calories left. She was like, that's not what you want to be doing. And I was like, oh, like, I thought that's what we're all supposed to be doing. She was like, wait, like, that's what I've been doing for months. And then I was like, maybe I should not be doing that.
So can I tell you what I think just based on what I know from you to speak, like speaking with you for a little over 30 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Which is not a long time, I understand. But what my gut tells me as a coach is that it's not a good idea for you right now to be counting calories. The reason being, there are a number of, but I think the most important of which is, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, you seem like you are your own harshest critic, and it's much easier for you to point out if you didn't do something well than if you did do something well. And I get worried thinking about you maybe potentially going over your calories or having something in there that you maybe potentially could have done better, and then viewing that in such a negative light that it really, really affects you. And then it maybe causes you to think poorly of yourself, or it causes you to just say screw it and go off track for however long. Does that sound like you or not? And if it doesn't, please don't be afraid to tell me if that is not correct.
That sounds exactly like me, like, okay. Routine, like down to the point.
Okay. So with that in mind, it doesn't mean you can't ever count calories. It just means, I think for right now, the way that we can set you up for success is making it very easy to find the win. So this is something that we did already with the strength training. We're like coming up with different, what constitutes exercise? We made a big list. So it's very easy for you to find that win now, because you know, all right, cool. So if I walk for 30 minutes, that counts. If I do yoga, that counts. If I run, that counts. Whereas before, maybe in your head, you would have been able to play some mental gymnastics to convince yourself you did something wrong. Whereas now we know, like, we're finding the win. So moving forward, I want to literally retrain your habit, your thought process of, instead of going for the negative, let's constantly find the win. What went well? What did you do positively? So with that in mind, in terms of nutrition, the first thing that it sounds like to me is that you want to get better at incorporating protein. Is that right?
Yes.
So how can we do that? How can we make that so easy for you that on a daily basis, you can always find that win?
I think a big thing is like grocery shopping, which is not one of my strongest suits, especially running around all the time. I'm pretty good at forgetting I need to go grocery shopping. So I think I've tried like the extensive meal prepping. I think that just does not suit my lifestyle. So just like, I think like minor prepping, just like planning, like I really like having yogurt every morning. So like on Sundays, making sure I have like 7 yogurts to get through the week, and then planning like, okay, I'm going to like purchase turkey. Like I don't need a meal prep turkey, but I'm going to have it in the fridge so I can like take it to go and eat it for lunches. And then just plan like on Sunday, like proteins to have and buy. Cause a lot of times I won't buy proteins cause I'm like, they're going to go bad. But I think I plan out to have them more so versus like come home and realize, oh, there's no protein. Like, I guess I'm just going to not focus on that for this meal.
I like that. You know what, where my mind goes is potentially thinking, how about we start by planning your daily meals on a starting from protein, right? So how many meals do you have per day? How many snacks do you have per day? And let's just start with that. And like, so we know we're not going to calorie count right now, but what does your normal day look like? How about we come up with a general plan for your meal frequency, for how often you're going to eat throughout the day, how many meals you're going to have and when you're going to have them. And then we can start inserting protein where we need. So how many meals do you like to eat in a day?
Okay. Normally some days are like my Tuesdays, super easy. Like I don't really have any classes, so I'll book in like meetings and like lab work. It's like today I had breakfast at home. I had lunch at home, and then I'll probably be home about like 5 or 6 for dinner. Some days with classes, I get up at like 7 and I leave and I'm like eating breakfast in the car, and then I'll get home at like 8:30 at night. So the normal day though is I normally will have breakfast like when I'm getting ready or like on my way out of the door. And it's normally like toast and yogurt. Like that's my new go-to. Like for a while I was like, toast is like bad. It's just bread. It's carbohydrates. And now I'm like, I'm having toast in the mornings because that's how I feel full.
And good. So
that's my like breakfast.
And what kind of yogurt?
I like the Chobani Complete. Those are my favorite, or the yogurt with like the fruit on the side. But I like it where you can like dip, so you can like figure out how much fruit you want. Like you don't have to have it all one morning. I like anything like at all. Like those are my favorite yogurts.
Okay. Perfect. I love that.
Yes. And then lunches normally is like, if I get a break, I'll come home for lunch, or normally lunches are like whatever I pack. Like for lunch yesterday, I think I had an apple, a banana, and then I had like a protein bar. Yeah. That was my lunch yesterday.
Okay. How did you like that lunch?
It was good, but it was not enough food for the day. So when I came home, I definitely ate a lot more in the evening.
Okay. So then let's talk about that meal. So are you sort of rushed with that meal? Or do you have a little bit of time?
Most of the days I have time to eat. The issue is just that I'm like on campus and I'm not home. That's normal issue. It's just like taking food to go.
Got it. Would you realistically, would you be the person to make a lunchbox of food and bring it? Or are you like, no, that's not me.
No, that's not me.
Got it. Okay. So do you buy food when you're out? You go to like the campus store or something and buy some food while you're there?
If I need to, I will, but typically I don't because campus food's a little gross. And like my freshman year when I lived on campus, I had a hard time like finding options that I would A, eat, and B, deemed as nutritious enough filling lunch. It's like there are options. Like if I'm running behind, like there's a salad place I'll go to, which is good. But typically I just like get ready in the mornings, I eat my breakfast, and then I throw whatever I have in the fridge and pantry in my backpack and hit the road.
Got it. Okay. So then you have, like, for example, then you had the apple banana protein bar because you had put that in your bag.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. And then by the time you got home that night, you were super hungry and you ate too much?
I would say ate too much. I've gotten a lot better at, like, pausing when I'm eating, but I definitely ate, like, a nice large meal when I got home. And, like, I cooked, like, tofu and, like, pasta and then ate that. And then I think afterwards, like, later on that evening, I had, like, another, like, small snack of, like, fruit or something.
Okay. Well, I mean, so to be honest, it doesn't sound bad at all. Obviously, I think there are some places we can improve. Looking at that, after outlining that, where do you think, and sort of going with the first goal of improving protein intake, where do you think we can improve? Like, where can we insert our thoughts and ideas into making your nutrition a little bit better and towards increasing protein?
I think sticking with yogurt in the mornings definitely helps me like make it through my first two classes. It's like, I think protein in the mornings is key for me, but then I'd say like making sure I have either like sufficient protein in the evenings. Cause I've done like turkey sandwiches before and like most of the time that works, but I definitely have had days where I've like packed lunches and then just not even had a chance to eat it. And then it'll just like go bad in my backpack, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So I think maybe the evenings is a lot more reliable for me to like plan out on Sundays when I do go grocery shopping, be like, okay, I know I'm going to be home XYZ evenings. And like, if not, I'll cook something and eat it, like take it to go for lunch if I can. But I think I need to like find a surefire way and get some good, like plan the protein in for the evenings. Cause right now I'm kind of just like, oh, I'll figure out dinner when I get to it. But I think that's where I'm like lacking the most substance.
So what happens? You get home, it's later at night. Are you really hungry?
Most of the time, yeah. Most of the time when I get home, I have class like 4 to 5 and then like I TA. So I'll do like study sessions and then we'll run late or I'll be like working on a project in lab and then it'll take a while. And so I'll get home and it'll be between like 6 or 8 o'clock. And yes, I'll be like starving. And so I'll go like see what I have in the fridge. And like typically I'll have like something to make a salad or like something in the freezer like I could heat up. But yeah, normally it's like, okay, I get home, I'm starving. What can I make the fastest?
Got it. Okay. So here's where my thoughts go. I think, yes, improving dinner is going to be helpful, but what I think is really going to be one of the actual cures here, rather than just sort of a Band-Aid, is like to actually go to the cause and tell me if you think I'm wrong, and I've been wrong many times, so it could be, is figuring out a way to make it so by the time you get home, you're not so damn hungry. Mm-hmm. So figuring out a way, like what can you either find on campus or bring with you during the day so that you have it with you. So between lunch and dinner, you have something to keep to hold you over. So by the time you get home, yeah, you'll be hungry, but you're not going to be ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
What can you bring or what can you get like consistently on a daily basis that's going to help with that?
I think that would be just like more items during the day to eat. Like, if that's more fruit, like more vegetables during the day, or like I try to stick to one protein bar a day. I had like a phase in high school where I would eat like 2 a day, which was not good. But then I think just bringing like smaller snacks too that are like protein, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, I need to pack a whole meal. Like bring like salami or pepperoni or just like something. Like recently I've been really into like the charcuterie boards from Thanksgiving and eating all the leftovers. I've been taking all that from my parents. But so I think just like more options during the day to get me through.
I like that. I think that's 100% true. You know, one thing that's been interesting to me is noticing which foods, and specifically which foods in certain macronutrients, cause more fullness and how long the fullness lasts.
Yes.
So protein very clearly is the most filling macronutrient. Carbohydrates tend to fill you up quickly, but also you end up getting hungry relatively quickly as well. So they'll fill you up in the short term, and in the long term, you get a little bit more hungry. And then fats, they don't fill you up immediately, but they actually sustain you for a longer period of time, especially relative to carbohydrates. So I usually don't, and I'm going to preface this by saying this, I usually don't recommend something like nuts for the vast majority of people because it's so easy to overeat, and they're really not a great source of protein. They're actually pretty low in protein.
Yep.
But so something, for example, like almonds or cashews or walnuts, or sometimes a mix of the three, is if I know I'm going a long time without food, which is really similar to what you're going through, I will have a serving of those. And it's usually like, I will count out about 28 almonds because that's a normal serving size, but I'll take around 20 almonds. Sometimes I'll take like 20 almonds and five or 10 walnuts. I've noticed for me, walnuts actually, again, it's not an immediate fullness, but the fat content really does help fill you up. Walnuts for me fill me up a lot over the course of about 30 to 45 minutes after I eat them. And so what do you think about having some form of nuts, almonds, walnuts, cashews, or something, just a small handful, I don't know, between 4 to 6 p.m. so that as you go home, it's not something that you're not full, but it's also, it is sort of blunting the super hunger that maybe it can allow you to think a little bit more when you get home to then prepare a better dinner.
I gotcha. No, I really like that. Cause I think it's like my brain immediately goes to like, oh, like the easy snacks, like pretzels are like vegetables and like protein. But I think fats are like very over like feared and underrated in their terms of fullness.
Agreed.
Avocado toast in the mornings, like I'm good to go till like noon.
Amen. Like, that's exactly right.
It's so easy to put so much avocado on there and just down it, you know? Like, I think that's where it's like fats are like, you use them in proportion, but I think that's definitely something I've been like lacking during the day and forgot about. So I think that's a good idea. Just like bringing celery and peanut butter, or just like something. Like,
yes.
A little
yes.
More filling, less, because I've definitely. When I was like very obsessive with food, I would like make oatmeal in the mornings and sit in my classes and like count the hours and be like, okay, like I made this much oatmeal. I was full till 11. And then the next day I would add protein powder and then see how full I was and like compare the hours.
Yeah, smart.
Full I was based off if I like used protein powder, if I did like double the oatmeal, and it was, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, this, I love it. That's like the true scientist in you, right? Where it's like, all right, let's run an N equals one and figure this out. So you get to know your body. I love that. That's perfect. So how do you feel about that? That plan, I like your mornings. I like your mornings. I like that you have some toast and some yogurt with some high protein content there. I like that you're having fruit during the day. I like, you know, banana, apple, protein bar. And then a couple hours later, having some higher fat content, some nuts, something like that. That's for me has really helped me a lot. And then when you get home, you have a little bit more room for dinner. You really didn't eat very much throughout the day. So you have a little bit more room for eating more during dinner, but then you have ideally at this point without being as hungry as before, you can take more time, prepare a nice dinner, whether it's chicken, whether it's turkey, whether it's fish, whether it's beef, whether it's tofu, whatever it is, you can prepare a nice dinner with a significant amount of protein.
I like it. I think that's a good plan. I think I got very into like the idea like, oh, I should like not eat as much during the day and like save my calories that like right. But I think now with my current day schedule and with a much better like approach to eating, I think I definitely need more substance during the day. The way at the end of the day, I'm not like crashing and burning.
It's such a common thing that I see people do where they try and save and save and save their calories for the end of the day. And it exacerbates and perpetuates a real problem, which usually leads to binge eating. It usually leads to thinking about food all day, every day. They're just always thinking about what that big meal is going to look like. They become obsessed with feeling stuffed and full before they go to bed, and then they get anxious if they're not really full before they go to bed. So I really like the idea of having some nuts or something, a higher fat content thing, with moderate protein, during like a couple hours before you get home for dinner, just to hold you over.
I agree. I like it. Yeah. No, I definitely have seen so many things like that, or so many people saying like, oh, I'm doing this because like it does that. And I'm like, two and two don't make four in that sentence.
Like, yeah.
Like, actually, that doesn't sound like the best strategy here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in my opinion, I think this plan as we have is the best starting point in terms of, you know, what constitutes exercise, you know, your goal of going 4 times a week, training for the 12K, chasing those performance-based goals, the squat, the leg press, the pull-ups, chin-ups, and then also in training, exercising in some way 4 times a week. But then also we have this nutrition plan of, you know, when your meals are, you know, generally what you're going to focus on and how you, what you're now going to insert in order to get more protein, but also to make it so that you're not ravenous when you get home. Candidly, that's where I would say, let's call it for now and test that out for 1 to 2 months. Because as you know, like as a scientist, it's like, if you add too many things, it's hard to track what actually worked and what didn't. And it's, you know, just from speaking with you, you're clearly very intelligent. You're very science-based. I think this is probably the best place to say, you know what? Cool. We have our new plan. This is what we're going to do for the next 30 to 60 days. Let's see how it works. And then based on that, you can adjust and say, okay, cool. So I actually got really full, much more than anticipated from those nuts. So cool. So now I know, and I'm just going to stick with this for a little bit. Or you'll be like, you know what? That really didn't fill me up. I'm still super hungry, or the nuts didn't sit well in my stomach, so I'm going to try something else. And then we can go from there. But how, do you feel comfortable and confident with the plan we've laid out?
Yes, I do. I have a few follow-up questions for you. But yeah, I really like starting here in small, and like in the history, I've made plans that are so elaborate and intense, like with lists of food items that are yes and no. Like I think having like a straightforward and simple plan is the best thing for me right now.
Good. I love it. So, yeah. So what other questions do you have?
Okay. First off, just like incorporating, like I am like, I love sugar and sweets and like anything along the lines. It's like incorporating and balancing those. Cause I did the whole don't eat any sugar. Like last year for New Year's, I did like a clean month in January and I was like, I don't drink. Like I won't do anything. Like I won't eat any type of sugar. And obviously that didn't work. But just like finding balance with that, like is where I struggle. Cause it's like, what's too much, what's too little, like same thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to have like this piece of like, my new thing has been like, I'm going to decide like, okay, I'm going to decide like this morning, like I really want like a scone with my coffee. So I'm going to get that and then not beat myself up after for it has been like my approach saying going forward with like incorporating it into like day to day. Like, I don't know, how would you suggest approaching like sugar and like unhealthy air quotes items?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's easier said than done. And I have to preface that because people are always like, well, that's just easier said than done, which it is. Everything is easier said than done. But I think the sort of the slip that you just had there is what we need to work on, which the slip was, how do you deal with incorporating these unhealthy foods? Which was like, we need to remove that idea completely. Like it is not unhealthy. It's not bad. Because if that's still a prevalent thought process in your brain, you will, even if you're like, well, I know it's not, but like it, you think it is, and that's going to eat at you and it's going to feel like guilty and shame and that something's wrong. And then oftentimes that will lead to, well, you know, it's screw it. I already had that. So I'm going to have this. And then it steamrolls. Number one, really fully understanding you're doing nothing wrong. Like you're doing nothing wrong. Overall, your nutrition is great. You're exercising 4 times a week. Plus, like your overall health and lifestyle is wonderful. God forbid you have a fucking scone one morning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Like it's not a big deal. And that's, again, it's easier said than done, but you have to understand that and internalize it. And I think the best way to get there is just to practice that. Again, like for the umpteenth time, like it's easier said than done. But when you do it, like the thing I noticed earlier, and I said, like, you're your own harshest critic. Mm-hmm. You have to become aware of the conversations you have with yourself and to yourself and at yourself and stop them in their tracks. And if you notice yourself being like, oh, I shouldn't get this going, just be like, shut the fuck up, Alyssa. Like, yes, I can have it. You know what I mean? Like, relax, yeah. Relax and literally have that conversation with yourself until you can get to the point where your logical voice is stronger and louder than your illogical voice.
Yes, I agree. It definitely is like a whole mindset game. It's like stopping and being like, no, like I had classes for 12 hours today. I was not going to work out. Like that is not a bad day. You know, it's just like,
correct. That's exactly right.
Or like lots of posts on Instagram or like lots of like social media, obviously like is a little bit more open now to different approaches to health and fitness. But there's some things where it's like, you know, I'm like, wow, like That's quite an interesting approach. And like, okay, that's not how I want to view these situations. And like, that's not the outlook I want to take. And it like takes a minute to realize it and be like, okay, wait, pause, like reset. Okay, now keep going.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, and the only other question I have is I saw one of the things you posted on, I think it was a story question. Someone asked like, do you only eat after you're hungry? And your response was like, I know I don't feel good when I'm like fully hungry. So I eat like before I get hungry. How, like I said, like during COVID, like I didn't really, like I wasn't eating when I was like truly hungry and I was eating out of boredom a lot. And so recently I've been trying to be like, make sure I'm hungry, not thirsty and not like craving things before I go and like eat another meal, or just like make sure I'm eating when I'm actually like hungry or want or need food, not necessarily just like I'm like stress eating or anything, but just like telling, like, I don't know, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, like I think I'm hungry, but I'm not sure if I'm getting hungry or not. And just like that whole process, just like, that's like my question kind of like your approach to it.
Yeah. So the question was someone asked, do you wait to eat until you're hungry or do you try to eat before to stave off the hunger? Which is sort of like what the plan we just came up with for you. That was the whole purpose, was to get you to eat something before so that you're not super hungry by the time you get home. For me, I know if I'm hungry or not. And that's come from many years of practice. And I think it does take time. It's one of the issues I have with the intuitive eating crowd, which they do have some concepts I agree with, some concepts I don't. But when people just blanketly say, yeah, you know, just listen to your body, it's like, all right, well, if I listen to my fucking body, I'm going to go eat Papa John's because that's what my body's telling me I want. So I think right now, you know, one of my favorite quotes and discussion points is, don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 15. I've had many more years of practice with this than you have. I've practiced it a lot. I've learned my body. I know when I'm hungry, I know when I'm not. And for whatever it's worth, sometimes I still do boredom eat. Like there's sometimes that happens. Like last night, my mom had made my wife and I one of my favorite desserts. She made icebox cake and I was not hungry at all, but I was like, screw it, I'm gonna eat it just because like I yes. fucking want to. right. And so I knew I wasn't actually hungry. I just wanted to eat the cake that my mom makes anytime she sees me. But like that's fine. I knew it and I wasn't punishing myself. It was like, cool, like I'm gonna eat this and I know I'll be back on track, no problem. And I was immediately. I think for you, you're still going through the process of trying to figure out, am I actually hungry versus am I not? I really do like what I call the apple test, and just asking yourself like, all right, am I hungry enough to eat an apple? And if the answer is no, then you're probably more bored as opposed to actually hungry. But if you're legitimately hungry, you're going to eat a fucking apple. So it's a good way to sort of identify, am I actually hungry or more am I just like looking for something to put in my mouth, just something to eat just because I want to taste something or I want to bite something or whatever it is. That being said, and it's sort of like two different questions, but I really, really think people undervalue the importance of eating before you get hungry, because especially for someone like you, especially for parents, mothers who have a kid, multiple kids who are going around all the time, like they're so busy, just like you are. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I haven't eaten in like 8 hours and I'm starving. It's so important. And that's why I was thinking throughout the conversation, what am I going to title this call? Because I think it's a really important conversation we've had that's going to help a lot of people. And I'm thinking it's going to title something about like how to make your own meal plan. Because what we did is we identified what times you're going to eat, the frequency at which you're going to eat, and what foods you're going to include at certain times to potentially stave off hunger. It's changing your schedule, but slightly. And it's really just helping you become more aware of, okay, I know at this time I get very hungry and it's hard for me to think and I just make whatever happens really, really quickly, which oftentimes might not be the best choice. So now we are incorporating those nuts just because they're going to help stave off hunger. So ideally by the time you get home, you might still be hungry, but not nearly as much as you would have been if you didn't eat those 200 calories worth of nuts. So that's where I think it's very important to understand the difference between whether you're hungry or not, but it's equally important to make sure on a consistent basis, if you want to be consistent with your nutrition, you're doing your best to eat prior to getting to the point in which you're ravenous. If you wait until you're ravenous, you're really setting yourself up for failure. So I think it actually is very important to go through this process of, yes, learning, okay, am I hungry or not? But also being like, you don't necessarily have to be hungry to wait to, you don't have to wait until you're hungry to eat. Mm-hmm. Like, it took me a while to get to that point, but you don't have to wait until you're hungry to eat. That is a misnomer. It's a misconception. And I usually don't wait until I'm hungry, because if I wait until I'm hungry, then it's probably going to be a bad idea, because then I'm going to go in there, raid the pantry and eat way too much. But if I sort of head off my hunger by half an hour to an hour, my portions are much more controlled.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's huge. And like, when I was trying to get better about eating, I was like trying to really listen to like my hunger cues and not run them over with cravings. But then going back to in-person classes, like I have 6 hour blocks of classes, and like with masks now, like you can't eat in class. Like I had a professor be like, if you want to drink water, go outside. And so now it's like, yeah, I was like, okay, sir, like, all right. I was like, let's take it down a notch.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some people are so lenient and some people are just so strict about it. But like having those 6 hour blocks of classes made me realize like, oh, like I need to eat now so that I'm alive in 6 hours. And like, it's made me realize like, it's okay to eat when I'm not like dead hungry. Like I know I need food and I know that food is going to sustain me and I'm not just going to keep eating through it. Like that's been like key. And that's like really helped me with like classes, is just like realizing like, oh, like it's okay to eat when I'm not like dead hungry. Like I need food to get through the day.
Correct.
Like, it's just an action of eating. Like food is nutrition and like it's a science. And you know, I really like that approach.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And you articulated that perfectly. And the reality is that, you know, hunger is interesting, right? And the science around hunger is still, we're still very new to it. We don't know a ton. We know some, but we're not like fully knowledgeable on it. And sometimes people will, you know, sometimes you'll have days, I'm sure you've experienced this, where sometimes like you're just not hungry at all. And you're like, wow, like I've only eaten 200 calories for the last like 18 hours and I'm just not hungry for whatever reason. And another day you'll be eating like an asshole, but you're hungry nonstop. You just want to keep eating, keep eating, keep eating, keep eating. It's, hunger isn't solely based on whether or not you're physically hungry, right? And you don't need nutrition, so you don't need to eat solely based on whether you have that feeling. It's very clear that for many people, eating on a consistent basis is actually going to better fuel your brain. It's going to help you think better. It's going to help you perform better in the gym. So it's not, you shouldn't only wait until you're actually hungry, because if you wait too long, then it's often too late.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Like learning about like what your body does when it goes into like starvation mode. And like, I remember when I learned in like physiology classes about how it first breaks down amino acids in your bloodstream and then amino acids that are stored before it even breaks down like glycogen stores. And I was like, whoa, I was like, wait a minute. It's not good if I'm hungry all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Definitely.
So do you feel comfortable and confident moving forward to give this plan a shot for at least 30 to 60 days just to see how you feel?
Yes. No, I feel really excited. Like I have it written out on my legal pad and I'm probably not really pretty and like hanging up on my wall or something. But no, I think laying it out the way we did is like a plan that I need, because I've known for a while I need to like make a plan. But I think it's not so restrictive or like specific that I'm scared I'm going to go off the rails and just become totally obsessive with it. Like I think it's the right balance. And like write what I need right now.
I love that. I love that. So this has been amazing. I'm sorry, I do have to get off. I have another call. But please do me a favor. Keep me updated with how it's going. Shoot me an email and let me know what's going on. If I can help, I'm always here to help. But I mean it when I say I'm very impressed with you. You're super well-spoken. You're clearly very smart. You're very motivated and driven. And I'm really excited to see your progress.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And like these podcasts, like, have helped me more than I know everyone always says like, thank you. But like everything, like you're like, even the smallest posts you've done have just helped me so much. And so like getting to talk to him, like, oh my goodness, I'm actually talking to him, you know, but, like, it's like, all these podcasts have helped me so much. And like, I really appreciate what you're doing and like just the approach you take to eating and fitness. I remember when I found your page on social media and like joined the inner circle, I was like, whoa, like this is so refreshing and different than what everything else is out there.
That makes me super happy. I really appreciate that. And I mean it. Never hesitate to reach out. I'm always here to help. And please keep me updated with your progress, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Goodbye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And Alyssa, thank you so much for coming on. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They really help a lot. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes or www.sfinnercircle.com. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.